Just a reminder to all of you out there that I do upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it, and those will remain there for 3 years at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. And since it just turned over 5 o'clock, let's go ahead and do this first, and I will be right back.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licht and Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht and Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser-known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Your library, your story. At the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, books are just the beginning. A library card starts a lifelong adventure, connecting you to everything you need to inspire learning, creativity, and fun. With 16 locations and plenty of online services, using your library has never been easier. Study in a quiet space, meet friends and learn new things, or explore the world through a magazine or a museum pass. Become a part of our story. Visit your local library branch or find us online at kfpl.ca.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by. He won't bother you. He's a busy man. He's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Hello, Friday evening everyone. At 6 p.m. here on CFRC.
Sorry about that. Didn't mean for that to happen. So thank you for tuning in. It is almost 3 minutes after 5 o'clock at this point, and just to more officially start the show, I would just like to say you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And also, just a short mention, because I did air a Kingston Writers Fest event in the last hour that in that series last year, in the festival, I recorded 10 events in total, and I believe Maryland's now is the seventh one of those I've aired. So over the course of the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks, or 3 or 4 weeks, or whatever, I will play the last three that still remain. So you'll be hearing a little more from the Kingston Writers Fest as well, again, in the coming weeks. Also, as mentioned at the start of the first hour, and I might have mentioned it, yeah, I did, I think near the end. Coming up in this second hour, you're now about to hear a January 27th Novel Idea Bookstore double book launch reading with Theodore Christou, his book, his new collection of poetry called Torch Song for Grace. And then also me with my new book called Effort Crossings. We were both launching our new books that evening. We were so lucky, too, to have Jason Haru MC the event. And What I will do today, too, when I do air that, I'm going to just attach a song at the end. I kind of like to do that sometimes at the end of either a series of readings at an open mic or sometimes even an event like this. I'll attach a song. And then what I will do is, without breaking into announcing it then, I'll just announce, I'll announce and credit everything at the end. How's that? After we come back from the song. So here is, to lead into it again, here is a January 27th novel idea bookstore double book launch reading with, again, Theodore Christou and his book Torch Song for Grace, and me with mine called Ever Crossing, launching our new books of poetry that night. And again, it was so nice to have Jason Heru MC the event for us. So let's go ahead and just do it. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay in the back? Yeah? Okay. Great to see everyone. Thanks for being here. My name is Jason Heru. Really happy to be hosting today's book launch by two incredible poets, Ted Christou and Bruce Kaufman. Before we get started, I'd just like to acknowledge that the land we are on tonight is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples. We gratefully acknowledge these indigenous nations for their ongoing guardianship of this land and agree to peaceably share in responsibility for stewardship of this land, its waters, and all of its biodiversity. All those who come to live and work here are responsible for honoring these relationships in the spirit of peace, friendship, and respect to both the land and one another. Thank you. As mentioned earlier, we have two readers launching books today. Ted Christou is launching Torch Song for Grace, and Bruce Kaufman is launching Ever Crossings. Both books are by Wet Ink Books and are available for purchase. To give you a sense of the timelines tonight, I'm going to read a couple of my poems to warm up the crowd a bit, and then each featured reader will read for about 15 minutes. And although there won't be an official Q&A at the end, there will be time for folks to chat with the authors and buy any books as well. We encourage you to kind of share your comments and questions with them after the event. I'd like to thank Novel Idea for allowing us to be here today and for being such a big part of the literary community. Now, as I reflect on the various readings I've been to over the years, it's funny, some of the most important people in my life I've met at readings. In 2010, I met Bruce at a reading, and we've been close friends ever since. And I met Ted way back about 20 minutes ago. And I'm sure we too will become great friends. Looking forward to all the adventures that we're going to have over the years. So take a moment to look around the room. Recognize the many friendly faces that you're familiar with. And why not also introduce yourself to someone new? Just say hello. They may one day become a lifelong friend, and you'll be able to say you met them here. Okay, so we'll have some fun. As I warned you earlier, I'll be reading a few poems today to help warm us up. I'll be reading three poems featuring snow, just in case you didn't get enough of it over the last few days. The first poem is called Snow. Some languages have 50 words for you, others none. This world is different from the cloud you left behind. Down here, you'll see pain, how easily we bruise and hurt, but not why. Very few things get along in our land. It takes years for a voice to be heard, centuries for a stone to feel at ease. Don't worry if someone shovels you from here to there, or there to here, or not at all. You may end up packed in a ball. Someone might taste you on their tongue or hold you for a moment in their hand. Don't be surprised if you disappear. You may even grow to love your life before you go or after you're gone. You may even feel you belonged. The next poem is called The Cloud of Unknowing. The cloud of unknowing snowed the unknown. Schools were canceled. Every street sign stood obscured in a shroud of powdered whiteout. At the corner of Anonymous Avenue and Enigmatic Boulevard, I shoveled a path through the mystery to gather mail. Only by reading my name and address on envelopes did I eventually learn who I was and where I lived. Our understanding was so limited, we could never fully comprehend the depths of God's love for us. At home, it was hard to tell the difference between strangers and loved ones. We sat together indoors and waited, not sure what we were waiting for. The barren landscape was a blank exam without questions. The best response was no answer. A zero meant we passed. Our incomprehension was so vast, we could never fully misunderstand. And the last poem I'll be reading today is called Night Snow Squall. And I stood at the stop, waiting for the last bus. Snow swarmed around a street lamp's hive. Alive, open-eyed, I felt blind in a blizzard of braille. All the quiet nearby returned home to be heard. A bereaved wind reached out to me without a hand, and the empty road flowed past like an unarmed sleeve. Why do things crumble and shatter to survive? Why must ships sink to submerge? I stood enthralled, in awe, and saw the drifting debris of a sky-wrecked world wash up on the shore. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so first up we have Ted Christou. Ted's a professor of education at Queen's University and a historian of education. He's published broadly in the areas of educational history and curriculum studies, but remains devoted to a life in and with poetry. Torch Song for Grace is Ted's third book of poetry, following An Overbearing Eye, 2012, and Byzantine, 2015. A lifelong educator, Ted's a member of the Ontario College of Teachers and the College of Early Childhood Educators. He's lectured and taught internationally in the fields of history, education, philosophy of education, curriculum theory, and social impact. He lives in Kingston, Ontario with his wife Glenda and their sweet dog Bernie. I asked Ted to share a fun fact about himself with the book, and he wrote about this book that his new collection, Torch Song for Grace, is structured according to the hours, or the daily prayers, of a monastic within the Orthodox Christian tradition. And this framework for the book dawned on him while he was living in several monasteries last year on Mount Athos in northern Greece. Mount Athos, or the Holy Mountain, is a self-governed, UNESCO-listed, 1,000-year-old monastic republic dedicated to Eastern Orthodox spirituality. Sounds fascinating. Please join me in welcoming Ted Christou.
Oh, my God. Thank you all for being here. I had written an academic essay, which I won't read, about the book, but I just want to express some gratitude first to everyone here who's coming on a winter January to listen to poetry. Thank you to our host. Thank you to our host at Novel Idea for their generosity, support of local authors and of poetry. This has been a huge part of my beating heart in my life in Kingston. I'm so honored to be here with Bruce. I'm so honored by our host and our MC, and I'll just get to it. I'm also going to read a little bit about the snow. But to begin, I'll start with a different element. This poem's called The River. There is a river, older than me, older than you, wider than kingdoms, deeper than the watchfulness of prayer. It runs through the broken heart of this world, through the cracked bones of cities, through the dust where names sleep. It carries banners of mercy. It bears victories of the unseen. It moves with tenderness that endures. Those who kneel to drink from it taste the ancient sweetness of life, that strength which rises through sorrow. This river flows through every hand lifted in thirst. This river begins in the heart of mercy. This river carries all who surrender to its current. I have fallen into it. Still it bears. Second poem is called Fresh as Snow. The light is fresh as snow. It rests on the morning dome, a glaze of frost laid down in silence through the night. The sky is still so much morning, it has not yet turned blue. It leans to rose. as if the day itself were pausing before choosing its color. In the crest of the valley, the sun peers through shrubs. In the crest of the valley, the sun peers through. Shrubs turn to glass, every twig shining with a brittle gleam. One tree rises above the others, stretching towards the opposite ridge, its trunk drawn upwards, its crown still half in shadow, its whole form braced between light and night. Higher on the bank, an evergreen catches the sun. Its branches grip their green, dark and steady against the bright seam of the hill. Its roots press into the slope, deep into the damp soil, anchored a season circle around it. It seems to stand as a column, holding its place, gathering years into its body without a sound. Where water trickles over rock, foam gathers white as ice. The thin stream flashes in sudden brightness, its edges silvered black with wet. Light lays itself there, as if no weight could disturb it, while the current appears to carry snow again, fresh, unfallen, the whole valley exuding light. This poem is called Petrarch's Garden. What a moment. Do you know how gardens hold the press of hands, how they bloom in cities of glass and shadow, each seed a promise pressed into soil? I have walked where roses bend, where lights rest on every petal, the air thick with pollen and sap, each stem a hymn to what might rise. Roses root deep as through the earth, took in every touch of love. Branches thorned and fragile twist upward into sunlit air. To tend is to scrape mud from your nails, to bleed a little when the thorn resists, to cut with care knowing the rose bears the mark of every hand. Petals fall and darken into soil, their color feeding the root. The night covers what will return, spring held beneath the frost. The sun leans close, dew gathers clear on the leaves. For a moment the garden glimmers, a prayer caught in morning light. There is no map here, only paths worn by wandering. Each bloom fades, roots endure, drawing us deeper into what is hidden. Love grows wild, unbound, through cracks in the ground, its fragrance lingering in silence, its roots threading forgotten spaces. Roses bear rain, the hush of frost, the long patience of winter, yet they rise again, their petals bright, their beauty risen from earth. As Petrarch bowed to his roses, we bow to love that lingers still, hands dirtied in devotion, hearts open, growing. My shortest poem, Anche Io, which comes from 1100 days of Duolingo Italian. Anche Io. The centuries pass, anche io passo, climbing the hill where milkweed opens to monarch wings, and stones lie patient in the grass. I was a boy at noon, a cenotaph by night. Tomorrow I will be ruin, then silence, then dust, each form a name given back to the earth. Two more to go. This is titled, There Are Depths of Solitude. There are depths of solitude washed in pastel watercolor, in the fullness of your cheek, in the branches bare of leaves, in long shadows, mid-November in these parts. It has snowed, or its coming is felt as cold air rising, from somewhere deeper than despair, pulling longing alongside it. You are accompanied by the moon tonight, steady, above the thinning trees. What offers a finer backdrop than this harvest light. You wear it as if it were glass fused and cool, casting the night against your unspoken thoughts. The final poem is titled The Streets in January. Again, we've probably had enough of it, but The Streets in January. Between snows, after snow, before the next, sidewalks salted heavy, plows carving paths without plan. We squint under a sun too sharp, search for coats thick as armor, pockets crammed with mittens, damp gloves. Near the school children spill into the snow, wrapped in purple plastic, bright against the drift. Some lie still, angels frozen mid-chorus. Others hurl snowballs skyward, aiming for their god, or scream into the cold for reasons unknown. These are old days and new memories, or old memories dressed in today's snow. I walk in circles, lost yet tethered to time. Green roofs, brown roofs, shingles crusted white, trees standing bare, waiting, their nests hollow as promises. My steps grow louder, children's voices fade. This is the story of my life, running from where I am to arrive where I began. I cannot wish it otherwise. This is the best of all worlds. This is the best of all things. This is the best of all worlds, she whispered. This is the best of all things, I say back. I imagine the world watching me walk through perpendicular streets, the same faces pass, and I pass them too, until tomorrow or until some other day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. Amazing. Lovely, lovely reading. And Ted will be around to sign any books or to answer any questions you may have or hear any comments that you'd like to share. Next, we have the man, the myth, the legend, although he would not really appreciate those words, so I'll take them back. Bruce Kaufman lives in Kingston, Ontario, is a poet, editor, intuitive writing workshop facilitator, and promoter. His written work has appeared in anthologies and journals, two chapbooks, and including this book, Evercrossings, now six collections of poetry. He continues to host a monthly open mic reading series called And the Journey Continues that began in 2009. And since 2010, still produces and hosts the weekly radio show called Finding a Voice on CFRC 101.9 FM. Bruce, in 2015, began the annual summer outdoor poetry series, Poets at Art Fest, in conjunction with Art Fest Kingston, and has organized and hosted it each summer since. And as a bit of a heads up, this year's festival will be held from June 26th to the 28th at again City Park and tied to the 2026 Arts Fest Kingston Artist Festival. So there's a lot of information there, but wait, there's more. I asked him to share a fun fact about himself, and he did. It's known, I believe, that Bruce has credited seeing the movie Dr. Zhivago in 1966 when he was 16, just shortly after it came out, and how that night after seeing it, he wanted to be a poet, knew he would be a poet, and in fact wanted to be Zhivago, the doctor poet. But he now says, after deeper reflections in more recent years, he remembers how when he was perhaps 3 or 4 years old, his mother would read to his sister and him just before they went to sleep, of how he remembered the title of a poem after hearing it the first time, and remembers it even still, Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod. Although his mother was wise enough not to give in each time she came in to read, Bruce would beg her to read the poem every single time because he loved it so much, and sometimes she would give in. And maybe that's what inspired him to be a poet one day, long before Zhivago. But even now, though, he says he still wonders if that idea of being a poet goes back even further, and if his mother happened to read poetry out loud while he was still in the womb, and did he hear it then? Thanks for sharing that, Bruce. That was really a nice little reflection. But before we bring Bruce up, I'd like to read the first stanza of that poem, Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod, written by Eugene Field in 1889. It's a poem that has four stanzas, and the ending is really beautiful. I'll just read the first stanza to whet our appetites, but I encourage folks to look at it online and read it fully. Here we go. Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod one night sailed off in a wooden shoe, sailed on a river of crystal light into a sea of dew. Where are you going, and what do you wish? The old moon asked the three. We have come to fish for the herring fish that live in this beautiful sea. Nests of silver and gold have we, said Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod. Thank you, Bruce. Come on up.
I'm going to read a few relatively short poems, but first I want to do a similar thing that you did. I want to thank, I can add you now too, Ted for his wonderful reading this evening, Jason for gracefully taking us, leading us through it, to Novel Idea for and Oscar and Joanna and Nicola for always being there for poets and authors and readers and writers in this town, and of course to all of you for coming out tonight so to listen to us. So thank you. First poem is called Once. Can you hear me in the back? Once there was a day, or a moment, or a person, a thing so brilliant, so perfect, it could never happen again. And then it did. Questions again. I ask questions in the dark, alone, not even sure if anyone is listening. I ask also for breath, and have been given that so far. So perhaps someone is. I too ask forgiveness for my occasional sense of not being enough or too much, or of being lost when the way is and was clearly marked. To those times all, I have not heard a response. Perhaps it's not needed. Perhaps the breath enough. On writing poetry. You will not write your best poems on paper, especially not a computer. You will seemingly write those instead with invisible ink on the backs of wild horses and ponies, or in a pattern remnant of tea leaves on the feathered tail of a dove, or in colored braille on the wings of a butterfly, a dragonfly. Those are the poems that will come back to you, each of them believing in you as much as you believed in them. Next poem is called There Was. And I'm calling it as an epigraph, a poetic fable, for whatever for what that's worth, but the poem is called There Was. There was a time before time where there was nothing except a small black dot. There in the center of a vast nothingness, until that dot believed it wanted to be more. There was no sight yet. Hearing came first. That dot could hear a soft voice. And yes, yes indeed. Even today, dots can hear. I mean, even a period knows when a sentence ends. But back to this. That soft voice said to the dot, "And now, too, I give you sight. Open your eyes. I have created a small pool of a new thing. Let's call it water. And created it from nothing but two parts of air. Look at yourself in it." The dot looked, saw only its tiny black self, nothing else. There was nothing beyond just that small pool in front of it, holding within the dot's reflection. Nothing else at all, in front of, around, or behind. And so because it could hear, the dot asked that soft voice for music. That music of color. That magic of time. And the soft voice said, granted. And so, you see, there was no Big Bang. Instead, but the tiniest spark. Barely a colored flash. And the universe became. Rails. Westbound train boarded this morning, no destination, no getting off. Nearly a continent away, taking it all the way to the West Coast. I'm anonymous, a number, ticket number. 20 via Rail Canada, economy, car 4, window, Toronto 2, Vancouver. That's who I'll be for the next few days. At least tens of thousands of others have been the same. Same name, same seat, same train, same car, same ticket. I boarded alone, will ride this rail, disembark the same. This trip isn't about people, just country, landscapes. The closeness of it, days of it, four. Never considered the not enough airplane with its glossy cover magazine ride, showing everything and nothing. Its few hour long short expedition without heart, memoryless after. I need something more, want a trip that has a pulse. I will disembark on the West Coast, stay maybe a day or two, then get back on board, come back the whole way again, alone, and not. For father again, a quarter century on. I'd never seen my father cry in all the times I was a child. And further on, I, a young adult and then middle-aged. In those days, in that part of the world, most felt the man crying was a sign of weakness. Even in his those later years and his failing health, less mobile life, in it he able to get around a bit, and able to fully talk and carry on long conversations. I did not see him once in it all ever weep about his weakened physical abilities or health. But during the Christmas seasons, with Christmas music filtering every year in low volume throughout my parents' home, in his final two of those years, for a bit, he would excuse himself from the main room all of us were in, as he secured and positioned his cane to go into the adjacent room and sit beside the stereo there whenever his favorite Christmas album would begin to play. And I would peek around the corner of our room into the one he was in, making sure he was okay, and he unaware I was watching. I would find him there, silently weeping, his head bowed, eyes closed, tears running down his face. And somehow then, even then, I believed it was more gentle for him, to him, to leave him there alone, believing he would have preferred it that way, to have that space and time to himself. That's nearly 30 years ago now, and I already older than he was then, and 8 years older than he lived to be. And again, this evening, a lingering regret. that in those two holiday seasons, him there beside that stereo turntable, I never asked him as he sat there alone where he was then and what did he see. And who we are, as I or you exit whatever is that ever next door, we carry an endless hope that we loved and cared for and perhaps even helped more people than we disappointed. Two final poems. Revisiting. This morning a memory arrives in a softness and fine mist surrounding me in an as if long-awaited embrace. This memory from very, very long ago. We lived in the country then, far away from any city, and far enough from even a tiny town. Often we had to travel by car to anywhere. My son, our son, in that time decades ago, just a bit more than an infant, not even toddler yet. And always on those drives, strapped into his baby seat in the back. Quite early on, we noticed, maybe he then 5 or 6 months old, whenever we drove somewhere, anywhere, at some point in it, he would make a hand gesture using both hands. He would hold up his left index finger straight up and then place his right index finger and another crossways over the top of his left. He was not speaking yet, so too young to ask. And as this kept happening more and more often over at least a couple of months, we were baffled by what it was all about. And this only happened when we were in the car. Then one day, as we were driving a longer drive to the city, to see his doctor, in fact, for just a checkup, I could see him in the car's rearview mirror doing it again. And so, for just a second, I quickly, but safely, carefully turned my head around to see the direction his head was turned and what he was looking at. Telephone poles. And so, mystery solved. But I don't think I fully understood until many years later, perhaps not even until today, just now. Joe was not simply mimicking an image. He was speaking to it, speaking with it, by assembly, learning a deeper language, connecting to and creating his world. And before I read my final poem, thank you again for listening to all of us tonight. Thank you. Again, there is no word for this, is the title of the last poem. We drop small things, pieces of ourselves, into woven baskets as we walk through rooms of days. We forget them there. We take ourselves out. We weather the storms within. We walk through rusted fire. Just being there again reignites it. 10 days on, it will burn down forests within us. We will be the only ones to notice each our own smoke. We will not talk about it. We will even look away if someone else mentions it in themselves. We fear They will see in our eyes the fire, the smoke, the ashes, that trail we leave and have left behind, both within us and beyond. We are told that somewhere out there is a lake. It might even be just around the next corner, we tell ourselves. That place where we can cleanse it all, smother the fire, knock down the smoke, turn ash back into earth. Still, we have not yet seen that lake. We never seem to find it. We wander on. But the spirits, the voices, the poets tell me it is there, so I must believe. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce, for that beautiful reading. Why don't we give another round of applause to Ted and Bruce for the lovely reading that they gave tonight. Thank you. Okay, well, so thanks again, everyone, for being here. There will be some time to chat with the poets afterwards and to mingle and to buy some books. So great seeing everyone here tonight, and safe travel.
And you just heard, before the song, you heard a January 27th Novel Idea Bookstore double book launch reading with Theodore Christou, his new book, Torch Song for Grace, and then also me with my new book, Ever Crossings. And then Jason also reading some poetry and then emceeing the event. And then the song you just heard was Jen Grant off of her first full-length album. I think she did an EP before this, but her first album came out in 2007 called Orchestra for the Moon. And I happened to catch her at the Artel, which was a comfortable artist residency, and so as sort of a almost a living room concert, I guess you'd call it. I don't know, living room experience, because small venue. I heard her wasn't launching the book at that point because this might have been a year or two later. But anyway, it was a wonderful experience. So anyway, one of my favorite albums of hers, and that song you heard was Dreamer. And if I didn't give you the name of the 2007 album it came off of, was called Orchestra for the Moon. And now before we move a little bit farther into the show and kind of start to clear out of here, actually, it's getting to be about that time. I do have a few more of these to play, so let's do that, and I'll be right back.
Travels home. Okay, thank you.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Partners in Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners in Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
Greetings, loved ones. This is DJ Nasty Nexus coming to you live and direct from CFRC 101.9. I'm here to bring you the goods from my new show, Classless Radio, airing every Friday night at 11 p.m. I'll be giving you hits and hidden gems all the way from jazz to blues and hip-hop and R&B. Music from the soul that everybody needs. Hop on my wavelengths and get right with the kid to kick off your big weekend. Stay tuned.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
And it is 50 minutes now after 5 o'clock. We're getting into the last 10 minutes of the show. So First of all, I'd like to thank all of you out there for tuning in today. And again, in this hour, my thanks, heartfelt thanks to Theodore and Jason for their incredible parts in the book launch, and to Novel Idea, Oscar, Joanna, and Nicola there for their time and space, and for not only our launch, but that evening, but for all they do as an indie bookstore in Kingston for its readers and writers. And a thank you to all of you out there who have been listening to the show this afternoon. And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock, and we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And I don't want to forget, it's just my usual mention at the end of each hour, just a reminder that every week I upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. And they do remain there for 3 years. I usually get that uploaded around 7 o'clock after I get home. And I do have just a couple of minutes. I'm going to play another song to take us out of here. And so I'm not rushed to do it in advance. And I will tell you it's another cut off of Jen Grant's orchestra for the Moon album. And the cut you're going to hear is called In a Brown House. So in case I'm babbling on and don't get a chance to do it, then I'm doing it now. So the other thing I'd like to do before I mention a few calls for submissions that are coming up, just to fill in this space, is to tell you, please do stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music that's hosted by Rob Carnell, coming up right at the top of the hour. And I hope to catch you here next week. Coming up, let's see. I did events last week, so I'll do calls for submissions this week. I've got enough time to do two or three of them anyway. First one coming due is, deadline is March 15th, and it's Subterrane Magazine, publishes 3 times a year. From an office in East Vancouver. They're looking for fiction, poetry, photography, and graphic illustration 3 different times during the year. And right now it is for their summer issue 104. I believe it has a theme of guilt. March 15th is the final day. So it's the deadline. www.subterrane, that's subterrane.ca/writers-guide-submissions. Check that out if you're interested. The new quarterly with the Edna Stabler personal essay contest. It says, we are interested in essays in which the writer's personal engagement with the subject provides the frame or through line. So work must be unpublished. I don't have a lot else to go with that. So please go to https://tnq.ca/contest. You'll find other contests in there as well. And the Master's Review, I think all I've got time for is just to give you their website and you check it out. This is for emerging new writers only, new narratives in 2026. Just go to the Master's Review Submission Manager. I don't have a better website than that. That should get you there, though, if you put that in your search engine. Again, let's see where I'm at. I think I better just sort of slide out of here. Again, thank you for tuning in today. Again, please do stay tuned to 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music. Again, that's hosted by Rob Carnell. Again, I'm going back to the Orchestra for the Moon album that Jen Grant put out in 2007 with the song called In a Brown House. And I hope you all have a great week, and I will catch you here next week. Have a good one.
laced up her boots and she walked out the door. But you were still waiting. For the encore. And you're boots and she walked out the door. But someday you'll find her singing for two.